So microphone issues aside, we have plenty of richness coming from the liturgy and from the Word of God. I have to admit that I was taken by surprise again. I can't believe I keep getting surprised. I've been at this for years. Anyway, today's Gospel, Matthew 18, if you would have asked me before last night, when do we read Matthew chapter 18, the part about the little children being the greatest and about the angel seeing the face of God, I would have said, well, in the first week of October. Because I know that that reading comes up in the first week of October. That's when we have our novena in honor of Father Francis, our liturgical novena in honor of Father Francis. I think that this reading of Matthew 18 is an optional reading for the feast day of St. Therese, October 1st. That's Father's death anniversary. And most people don't use the optional readings, but I think that's it. And then the next day, October 2nd, I think it is the reading for the Feast of the Guardian Angels, because the mention of the little ones having angels looking at the face of God, this verse 10, I think it is, do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven always look upon the face of my heavenly Father. That's a reference to the guardian angels, and little ones have angels. So it's one of the scriptures that supports our belief in the guardian angels. Anyway, that's October 2nd. So I don't know if it's also an optional reading in the Feast of St. Francis. Maybe not. But anyway, it comes up in October. And here we are in the middle of August, and it comes up again. Perhaps it's a good reminder to us, because we're in this novena of glory, it's a good reminder to us that the way to glory is to be little. We're going to celebrate the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. That's very great glory. And she receives that glory because she's the humble servant of the Lord, the handmaid of the Lord. When the disciples ask Jesus at the beginning of today's gospel, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Well, God is the greatest. You can't compare God to any of his creatures. That's the obvious answer. God's the greatest. But they weren't thinking of that, of course. Then there's no question about God being the greatest. But what about among his creatures, who's the greatest? Or what about among human beings, who's the greatest? What we're going to see on Friday, the Solemnity of the Assumption, we're going to see that the greatest, of course, Jesus is the greatest. He's the shining sun in the heavens. And his humanity is radiant with glory. His ascension to the Father brings glory to us, our human nature. But then along with Jesus, of course, Mary taking up body and soul into heaven. So in answer to their question, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus and Mary. Now they were not yet in heaven, bodily brought into glory, but they were still the greatest. I don't think the apostles were thinking about Jesus and Mary. In Mark's version of this gospel, it's not the disciples who ask the question, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus, in Mark's version, Jesus hears them arguing and he says, what were you talking about along the way? And they fall silent because they were arguing about who among them was the greatest. So it's a little bit different. Who's the greatest among us? And in Matthew's gospel, it's questions shifted to, in the kingdom of heaven, who's the greatest? But the answer is still the same. The littlest, the lowest, the humblest, that's who's the greatest. Jesus uses this visual aid of the little child. He takes the child, puts the child in their midst, and says this shocking thing, unless you turn and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven, much less be the greatest. No one enters the kingdom of heaven without humility, without littleness, without childlikeness. That's why this reading is connected to the Feast of St. Therese, the doctor of spiritual childhood. So, littleness, humility. This is a challenge to us because what we know of littleness, of what we know of little children, not only their simplicity and their innocence and their beauty, which is certainly part of what attracts us to children, but their weakness. We know that children, and any parents know this, when they have a child, all of a sudden, that child is absolutely dependent on their parents. And and the parents, especially if it's the first child, they realize what an extraordinary responsibility they have, because without us, what will happen to this helpless baby? What will happen? It's complete dependence, helplessness, weakness, vulnerability. One of the things parents recognize is that they have to protect this child from dangers, from predators, from all sorts of possibilities. And this child is so vulnerable, can't defend himself, take care of himself. Well, yes, that's children, and that's what makes it unappealing for us to become like children. Who wants to be at risk like that? Who wants to be weak like that? That's too dangerous. I think, no, I should take care of myself, build up my bank account, build up my securities, get big walls and defend myself. And that's human thinking, right? That's earthly thinking. I have to defend myself and provide for myself. I can't be vulnerable and dependent and weak. That's not God's way of thinking. Why? Because God is not telling us to be children at risk of disaster all the time, or of being taken advantage of all the time. That's not what God has in mind. He himself is the guardian. He himself is the shepherd. And that's why it's reasonable from the faith perspective. It's reasonable to be weak because we have someone who does take care of us. That's why this gospel adds this story of the one sheep who goes astray, and the shepherd goes in search of that one. It's not to glorify going astray, as if it's better to go astray than to be among the 99. No, what this emphasizes is the concern of the shepherd for that one, that little one, that one who's lost. It's not the will of your Heavenly Father that one of these little ones be lost. The point being, the vulnerability, the weakness of the little one is not a problem because of the extraordinary care of the Father, of the shepherd. Well, this is, I think, connected to what Moses tells the people in today's first reading. Moses is at the end of his pilgrimage. He's 120 years old. He realizes he's near the end. He's not going to enter the promised land, cross the Jordan. And so he says, okay, the Lord's going to lead you into the promised land. You don't need me. The Lord is the one who will lead you. Just put your trust in the Lord. And he's assigned Joshua to lead you across the Jordan. You're going to go into a land that's filled with hostile tribes. In fact, you knew that 40 years ago when you decided not to enter. You know that story. When 39 years earlier, when they first got to the border of the promised land, and Moses sent in some of the representatives, including Joshua, to go in and check out the land. And they said, oh, this is definitely a land flowing with milk and honey, but it's also full of hostile tribes. And the people got frightened and they said, well, we can't go there. So they ended up wandering around for 40 more years. Anyway, yes, the same tribes are still there. But have you learned in these 40 years to trust in God? Have you learned to be childlike, to be humble, to be dependent on God? Because that's what will make it possible for you to be victorious. Those 40 years were years of training in dependence, or we could say training in poverty of spirit. That's what makes it possible to be great. Littleness, childlikeness, poverty. Why does it make it possible for us to be great? Because that makes it possible for God to be in charge and not us. Depending on God is not as bad as it sounds. It sounds to our flesh like now no one's going to take care of us. Now we're going to be weak and we're going to be taken advantage of on every turn. No, that's not how it is at all. God takes care of us at every turn if we would just let him take care of us, if we trust him. So Moses' message to the people and to Joshua is, be brave and steadfast. It is the Lord who marches before you. He will be with you and will never fail you or forsake you, so do not fear or be dismayed. You don't have to be tougher in the human sense. You have to be strong, brave, steadfast, virtuous in your absolute dependence on God. So that's our confidence as we continue our own pilgrimage. Why be poor in spirit? Why be little? Why be dependent? Because then we're in the hands of God and He can take care of us. He can lead us to victory. That's what leads to greatness. You want to be among the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Well, be among the least. It's the secret of holiness.